Okay, now we're coming to the last presentation for today. I'm happy to see that there are still so many people. And Emanuel Belo from Camp2Camp is now going to talk about DevOps processes to the rescue when building, maintaining, and continuously improving an SDI isn't enough.
Good afternoon. Thank you for being there so late. I try to give my talk so that we finish on time today. It's a challenge to present DevOps processes in 20 minutes, even in a larger project like the one I'm going to present. But let's try. So first, in a few words, the agenda. I'm not going to present Camp2Camp. Camp2Camp presentation is in the slide, so you can have access to the material. Then I'll summarize in a few words the project. There are two more talks tomorrow on the topic. And so I recommend you to go for the overall overview of what we have done to these talks, and then we'll dig into the DevOps aspects of the project. So I said I would skip Camp2Camp. We are an open source company, nearly 100 employees in France, Germany, and Switzerland. We participate to open source project and propose different solutions, WebJS, SDI, Odoo, 3D with Cesium, QGIS, and also tailored project based on OpenLayers, for example. We are also contributors to OpenLayers. And all these solutions, they can be deployed on Docker with Puppet to automate the deployment of the solution on orchestrating systems, and this is the last this last aspect that we used in the Fiber to Home Factory project. So I'm going to straight jump into the project we have done with Deutsche Telekom. Torsten Dreh, the session chair, is the product owner, project manager at Deutsche Telekom for this project. And we have developed this solution with other companies like Terrestris, Mondialis, and other, you will see the slide. The goal of this project is to be able, in a very short time, to plan the routes of the fiber network when you plan to wire a new city. So you need to collect data, you need to automate the processing of this data, and then compute the routes, and then propose possible scenario that are least cost effective, that are interesting from a cost point of view. For the planning. And so many processes need to be chained together in a special data infrastructure. So there are multiple components. They will be presented more in detail in the following talks. But just for you to know, the challenge of this project is to bring all these components in a short time in a platform. And this is one of the challenges. The second challenge is to work as a team. So there are many companies involved in the project. Each company has its own way to work, to develop, to deploy their software. And we have to work together on one SDI. And so this is one of the challenges. We have also different competencies. And so we have to work together and bring all components from these different companies in the same place. And so this is this slide and explaining the different components. So there are many technologies from different open source stacks that needs to be brought together behind the security proxy. So it has to be unified in a coherent platform. So if you think at this, so many components, so many processes, such a large team or a diverse team, it's not just about develop, build, ship, and run like a Docker message. You have to be much more structured, and many more processes should be taken into account to reach this goal. So actually, it looks more like the DevOps lifecycle. You have to plan, define what needs to be done, plan the work of the whole team. Then you have to work together to create the solution. You have to propose a testing mechanism to be sure that your components work with other components, that the quality is there, then to package all these different components to be able to release them on a system, on a central system that will be then configured by infrastructure engineer that will be monitored, and the loops go on with the next, let's say, next sprint, next release of the solution. One of the key aspects of this project is that at the start, we didn't have the infrastructure we would get at the end of the project. The target infrastructure was not there yet. So we also had to build not only the software part, but also the infrastructure below to run the software. So in this talk, I'm going to sequentially speak about how we solved, how we worked together on each of these aspects of the DevOps lifecycle. So first, we have to work together to plan what will be in the next release. We use Scrum as a method, and there we brought everyone together to define what will be the outcome of a sprint. And when I say everyone together, I mean the product owner that decides what will be implemented, the Scrum Master to organize, GIS consultant, but also developers, and also the operation, the infrastructure team, because it has impacts what you develop. It will be needed to be hosted, and a new hosting paradigm will impact the software. So everyone has to work together in defining what will be done. We use therefore tools like the Atlassian Suite, Confluence, and Jira. And my message here is really that it's not a project manager that will define by himself the work packages. It's a teamwork. And as an example, the first task of the project has been to propose a Git repository so that we can receive the source code developed by the different teams. So infrastructure aspect came very early in the site of the project. So this looks like this. Complete Jira dashboard with multiple cards, multiple person involved, comments, definition of done, how do we agree on the fact that this is implemented, yes or no, and so on. But the important part is it's not only about the tool here, it's the people's mind, and a broad and diverse spectrum of people should be involved. Then we created, during sprints, so 2 weeks, work together on the code. We created the software that has been selected for the first or the second for the sprint, and this has been done with remote teams. We were in different regions in Europe, and so we used also tools to communicate, to share on a daily basis our status, to ask ourselves questions within the teams, and also to share information. So we also organize workshops and so on. And here, one of the key aspects of having a smooth project is also the product owner being hyper available to respond to questions so that the team can progress on a daily basis without losing time. So here an example of a code sprint with everyone together, and here on the right, a Slack image of communication happening on a daily basis within the team. Once the software is developed, then we need some quality insurance. And in such a large system, we need to automate the quality insurance. So we had, with GitLab, a continuous integration pipeline that would run tests on each commit or on each time we start the test. We had unit tests and also integration tests, and as well end-to-end tests. So I log in into the user interface, I do a request, and what's the result. One of the aspects and the challenge here is that as a DevOps project, development team and operation team needed to work together to bring their software in the CI pipeline, because we need to have a common way to test the solution. We had tools, GitLab, for this, and we had to write the same way the test and the way to bring every component in this pipeline. And this has been this is, I think, a solid foundation then for the project over the month as the scope grows. And so we proposed, the GitLab proposed a status page, and you can see here for every branch, for the status of the, if the test passes or not, so that it's a known information, the quality of the software. Once the software has been developed, tested, it needs to be packaged, to be deployed on at least a development integration server, so that people can also then decide to go in production. So the packaging aspect has been done with Docker and OpenShift Helm charts. We use OpenShift in the project. So every component has been put in a Docker container. We had Docker images that were generated automatically by the CI package, the continuous integration, as well as Helm charts that would define how these Docker containers are linked together once deployed on development or integration, for example. And this looks like this. We have at Deutsche Telekom the Magenta Trusted Repository, where the CI uploads every image. There are also there are security scans for the images there. And you see that within each repository, you will find the image for every branch or every tag of the solution. So we really have there the whole a library of all images that has been produced during the project, and then that are also available to be put in on the staging infrastructure. So once the images are ready to be deployed, we have to bring the solution in production, and this doesn't happen per manual clicks, and then, but it works like the pipeline is extended until production. And there we have set up a very advanced and high-level delivery pipeline with different Git repositories to hold the source code, but also the configuration version of the different environments. So we had a Git environment for development platform, one for the integration platform, and one for production, and there and this way we can have an automated and still manual validated process in bringing the source code to production. So just as an example, once you do a commit on the source code, so this is the top left chart, when you do a commit there, it will open a pull request on the development environment with the last commit version, so that the developer can say, okay, now I merge this commit and I update the version of my development environment. And so we can sync any commit in master on the development environment just by merging a pull request. So upgraded the version of the development environment. And once some tests have been done there and we are happy with the solution, we can tag in the source code a version, and a tag in the source code will generate a pull request in the integration version. To update the integration version with the latest target version from the project. So you bring here a feature that has been more tested and that is frozen to a certain point. And there, in the integration version, it's then also possible to, once some test has been run smoothly and we decide to bring something in production, also to do a pull request, a new version from integration, a pull request to production, and there we can also then say, okay, let's deploy this specific version on production. And you see that only the source code is validated. There is only one source code with commits, tags, and then we bring tags to integration, And then a specific tag validated in integration can be brought to production. So we have a real pipeline without having people messing around the source code or the items. One of the aspects of this DevOps lifecycle is that when you bring an item into production, you also need to have the right, the adequate resources there, as compute resources or storage resources. And here we use the infrastructure as code aspect. And so we define, we use the cloud system, and with Terraform, we provisioned in the OpenStack API the machine. For example, we say, I would like, and describe the machine types we would like, send the order to OpenStack API, and created the machine. So the source code to create the machine is documented in Terraform. And then this Terraform receipt starts Ansible to bootstrap the compute nodes, and then Puppet with install also metrics, security, or other aspects. So not only the application source code is versioned, but also the infrastructure aspect are versioned. That's nice. So this is here an example where we describe that we would like an X large machine to be provisioned, installed with this operating system, and having below, okay, the log volumes will be assigned to this device, and it will be this file system type. And so you have the whole project lifecycle is based on a software development paradigm. Of course, once you are in production or ready to be in production, monitoring plays a big role because you need to know if you have adequate resources, if everything is running smoothly. And here for the project, we install two things, install and configure two things, metrics with Prometheus and logs with Kibana. So we know exactly how many CPU is used on each compute node, how many, what's the memory consumption, and so on. As well as we have for the application part, the logs, so the HTTP logs that are analyzed in Kibana, and we here are able to follow requests, errors, time of response time, and so on. And this dashboard allows also to monitor the whole platform to make sure everything runs smoothly, and if there is something to adapt, this information goes in the next sprint or next life cycle of the project. So this is really something that it's a co-creation between the development team, operation team, and we have this different loop that I explained, plan, create, verify, package, release, configure, and monitor, that repeats themselves over the month of the creation, of the duration of the project. We could say, okay, this is very complicated. Is it really needed? When I look back at what we have done in the project, we started in fall 2017, and at the time we hadn't the targeted infrastructure. We had it was all the beginning of the project. We had to start, and we start with what was available, the modules that were available, the technology, what we thought was a good idea to start with, and we start. And so, for example, we can see that we migrated this spatial data infrastructure. It started on AWS, was the web services, then the Open Telecom Cloud, and then in the Deutsche Telekom internal cloud. So we had three migrations over this year and a half. This is only possible if you have recipes to deploy the infrastructure and the source code. Other way, having such a large team, so many components, and to be able to install them three times, it's a huge, it will just not be possible. And this is just an example, because we also, at the time involved, we migrated the orchestration system from Rancher to OpenShift, because OpenShift wasn't, we had to start with something, and then we changed. And then we first said, okay, we install a development infrastructure, then integration, and then production, and then Okay, DevInt on the new platform and so on. We had a CI/CD, the tests they were built with Jenkins, but then GitLab was more interesting for the team, more performant for what we wanted. So we changed to GitLab the CI aspects. And as the time progressed, we changed also, we updated the software stack versions. We integrated new data. We added features on in the project. And so you see that this DevOps processes, this paradigm, they allow to have a continuous working software over the time. And I think this allowed the team also to create and to add new features all over the time without having to focus too much on reinstalling everything on a new environment. So these are our conclusion. Infra, it scales. We started at some place, and we are now at the place we would like to be with the feature we want. And it's a good idea to start with infrastructure as code and to deploy continuous integration, continuous delivery pipelines. If you plan to build a large system, maybe for a small system it's too heavy, but if you plan a large system, it's a very valuable thing. And it's also, if you work with multiple teams, a common language for the team and how we're going to develop, how we're going to deploy, and so on. So it brings the teams together. One of the takeaways I do have in this project is that open source software is modular and interoperable. We could bring Grass, Actinia, GeoOrchestra, Shogun together. It supports versatile deployment because we deployed in so many environments, and it can be updated, upgraded during a short time. And also, we used an agile method for the project, Scrum, and then later SAFe, and it empowers the team. Everyone participate to the definition of what will be done. It improve also mutual knowledge and trust. And I think it's very important because as the system grows, it is more structured but also more complex. And if the teams knows each other better, knows the subject better, the product owners know better the technique, and the technique knows better what are the goals of the project, we can keep up the speed of the delivery and the velocity of the project. And so, for me, one of the last takeaway is that such method, it allows from building blocks to build a cathedral with very different, by integrating a team of very different person, and we can bring all this together and bring something solid, build something solid over the month. So. If you would like to know more, there are two talks tomorrow on this topic. One of the processing aspects with Grass, and one from Torsten that will summarize the whole aspect of the project.
Okay, there was a first question over here.
How many people were involved in the project? I mean, for example, developers, product owners, so on.
Maybe I can answer by myself. It's hard to tell, actually, because not all developers are working full-time on the project. As you saw, there are so many different companies involved, and not all people from the companies are there all the time. So in total, I would say for the geo part, I mean, the project itself is much larger, but for the geoinformation part, we are just counting numbers, something between 30 to 40. But I would say the core team, or if you calculate full-time equivalence, it's maybe 10 to 14 people. Yeah.
In the process description, you say that there was a single Scrum with single PO and so on. Is it actually so, or were there multiple teams, or how did it actually work?
I think we have a Scrum method, and we adapt over the time. At first, we had one single Scrum process, and then as it grew, the system grew, then we have multiple Scrums in parallel, up to three.
Hi, so I actually want to catch on that last question. So you said that you had multiple Scrum teams. How do they work essentially? So you have multiple stacks of things that that your product needs to touch on. So for instance, you start maybe from hardware, go up the chain up to, I don't know, if you take a product like web, you go development and then web platform and stuff like this. So you have the horizontal slices, and then you have essentially product teams that cut vertically through this the stack that you have. So how did you guys organize it, and how was it managed?
Yeah, as Emmanuel just said, it changed over time. So in the beginning, we just had one large team, and we were also learning to work in a Scrum mode. And we rather soon realized that the team is too big and that we have to do something. So now we have three teams, and it's more or less divided by topics. So we have one team dealing with all the DevOps part and infrastructure as code part. Then we have one team which is mainly working on the data part, because we also have to import and even buy a lot of data and organize the data and getting data models right and so on. And another team working on the application part. So everything what is needed for geoprocessing the data, and also for building the web applications for the user interfaces.
So we have different teams, but also everyone is able to ping someone else to ask questions and to get forward in his task.
All right, then I'm going to ask a second question. I'm cheating a bit here. So I really love what you did with the whole process and the presentation, and I think it can apply to any type of software development. And was there anything specific to spatial data infrastructure that made it different, or was it posed a challenge, or stuff like this?
I think one of the aspects is the amount of data we do have when we collect large data sets, but it's also not specific to geospatial.
I think the whole concept could be applied to any other use case where you need a lot of hardware and a lot of developments. It doesn't make it special because we're dealing with geospatial information. Yeah? Any more questions? No. So maybe just one more note. I mean, you already see there are two more talks, and if you're capable of German, there's also one presentation available via YouTube from a colleague of mine, from Tobias Frechen, who is dealing more with the CI/CD parts technically, which was held on the German conference, the FOSCIS, this year. So, but it's in German. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Emmanuel.